It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we are going to be previewing the upcoming Motherlode Fair. It's in Sonora. It's coming up June 29th through July 2nd at the Motherlode Fairgrounds. We're pleased to be joined on the program this weekend by Kim Helmbold, who is the new fair manager this year. Kim, it's great to have you on Motherlode Views and congratulations on the new position.
Thank you, BJ.
So how long have you been fair manager now?
Since November 1st.
Since November 1st. So how have you been involved with the Motherlode Fair over the years?
This is going to be my 25th fair that I've been employed. I started out just taking entries. I would start May before the fair opened and take entries and work until about the end of July. I did that for 5 years in the front office, and then I've been in livestock for the last 20. So this is a big change.
Yeah, big change. Well, I know we had you on Motherlode Views last year, so it was kind of just fitting. It was easy to come in now as fair manager on the show. So very good. And you know, how did you get involved with fairs years ago when you were young?
I showed my horse for the first time in the Motherlode Fair Horse Show when I was about 6 years old.
Okay.
And I've shown my steer sold there in 1991, and then I've done stills entries off and on through the years.
Imagine I'm involved with 4-H or FFA as well over the years?
Both 4-H and FFA. I was an FFA member.
So being fair manager now, is it nice to have all that background and being working on the livestock end and just seeing all aspects of the fair?
It is. I think it makes me a little bit more aware of what happens down at that end. So I'm looking at the fair as a whole instead of just one part of it.
And, you know, the window just recently closed, I know, to submit still exhibits and the junior livestock entry forms. What can you tell us about this?
We put a challenge out to the community, and they really stepped up. Our entries overall are increased for the 2023 fair. Stills entries are up. We have 700 entries, over 450 last year.
Wow, that's almost double.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting to see. You know, what type of entries are the different categories at the fair?
We can take anything from fine arts and photography, baked foods, floriculture, horticulture. We do lots of arts and crafts, especially in the youth. They like to bring in their school projects, and that's a fun way for them to also see their work there, and they all get a ribbon when they walk out.
And you kind of put out a challenge to the community. What can you tell us about that?
We tied it in with our fair theme, which was coming in hot, show us what you got. We wanted the community to step up. If they had a special skill or a special talent, we wanted them to enter it in the fair and show it off, and they really did. We had so many people call and say, hey, I do this. Is there some place that we can put it in the fair?
So the theme this year, coming in hot, that's what the theme is?
It is coming in hot, show us what you got.
Okay.
We've kind of dropped the show us what you've got now at this point since entries have closed. And now it's up to us to show you what we've got.
Is that kind of playing on too, though, what's always kind of traditionally been said, the hottest little fair around or in California?
It is. I have brought that tagline back as the hottest little fair in California.
And then this year, it's right around that time of the Independence Day celebrations as well around the community. So is that kind of been a good weekend for the fair in recent years?
It has been. It's nice to be a little bit off of 4th of July now. It's a lot easier for us to get livestock judges. They don't like to judge on the 4th of July.
Okay. And we're sitting and talking here in early June, and it's kind of unseasonably cool right now, but I imagine by July it's going to heat up again. So,
I actually checked the weather forecast going out through our fair dates, and it looks like high 80s, low 90s.
Very nice. And then all those different competitions that you mentioned, you know, how are they voted on and how are the ribbons decided?
We hire judges that come in, and we usually try to pick a judge that maybe hasn't been there in a few years. We don't like to use a judge for more than 2 years at a time because they start to recognize trends, or especially in livestock, they learn to know the kids. So they will come in between now and the time the gates open, do all of our judging, do the placings, award our regular first, second, third, and then our best of shows. And it's really a fun thing to help with.
You know, what are some of the steps and requirements for the junior livestock auction exhibitors?
If they plan on showing, they have to attend one of our ethics classes. They're all held online. That is a state requirement. But then they have to make sure that they're going to attend one of our mandatory pre-weighs. And that gives us a chance to see the animals. They get a free vet check from our fair veterinarian. We put the ear tag in. And then we're talking about thousands of hours of their time and efforts in between the time they purchase that animal and the time they bring it to the fair and take it across that auction line.
A lot of great events that are always part of the fair, but that Junior Livestock Auction is one of the big ones. So when is that going to be taking place this year as part of the fair?
That's going to be Saturday at 4 p.m. down in the sale ring.
And then did you get quite a bit of, is it mostly individuals that come and bid or is it businesses? What do you find?
We have a lot of businesses and we have a lot of businesses that team up with other businesses. So they're sharing the product, but they're also creating a better experience overall. I mean, it's just a party atmosphere and it's the camaraderie between the buyers as well as the competition to see who's going to get the top price.
You know, and being involved with that livestock auction for many years, what do you notice when it comes to the youth in the community, kind of the skills that they learn throughout the process?
The livestock auction helps them to, they learn responsibility, but they also have to learn how to calculate an average daily gain. They have to make sure that their animal is going to hit that target weight, and they have to make sure that they're going to have an animal that the judge is going to like, and that's not always easy. They like to try to ask who the judge is, and we never tell them. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of a game of chance.
Learn a lot of those business skills, too, along the way.
Definite business skills. They have vet bills that they pop up. They don't know that those are coming, and they've got to try to account for those. And, you know, they hope they're still going to break even at the end.
You know, roughly how much money is typically raised at these livestock auctions for the youth?
Last year, the total bids were $1.2 million almost. And almost all of that goes back to the kids.
That's amazing. Yeah. Has the number been going up in recent years?
It has been trending up since 2021.
Okay. So it's great to see the community really buy into the livestock auction.
Yeah.
Anything else that people need to know ahead of time if they want to take part and maybe they haven't done so before when it comes from a bidding perspective?
They can go online. All of our information is available there. Go to motherloadfair.org. Under the Motherload Fair tab, there's Junior Livestock Auction. And if they go to that, that will help walk them through the process. There's some forms there that they can fill out. Even if they're not able to attend, they can bid by using a proxy.
You know, people coming out, how long of a time commitment should they anticipate to take part in an auction?
Probably at least 5 hours. We're looking at maybe 250 lots going through our sale again this year.
And do the small and large go all together?
They do. We alternate the flights, so the species will kind of rotate. The sale order is posted first thing Saturday morning, so they can kind of get an idea of when they might want to be there.
You know, we are previewing the upcoming 2023 Motherload Fair on this weekend's Motherload Views. Again, that's coming up June 29th through July 2nd at the Motherload Fairgrounds. We're joined on the program this weekend by Kim Helmbolt, who is the relatively new fair manager for the Motherload Fair, but she's been involved with the fair for decades, as she just pointed out. And a quick preview next week on Motherload Views. We're going to hear an update from the state capitol in Sacramento. We're going to be joined on the program by Heath Flora. He's a Republican assemblyman who represents part of the Motherload region, including the Copperopolis area, also stretching into some surrounding valley communities like Oakdale. That's next week on Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
During this weekend's Motherload Views, we are talking to the Motherload Fair Manager, Kim Helmbold, about the upcoming Motherload Fair. It's June 29th through July 2nd at the Motherload Fairgrounds. So as we talked about the Junior Livestock Auction during the first segment, what are some of the other big events that are going to be taking place over that period at this year's fair?
We have 3 nights of motorized events in our arena. Friday and Saturday is going to be L&L Productions returning back with the truck and tractor pulls. Both those nights, the show will start at 7 p.m. And the tickets for the arena events are $10 for Friday and Saturday night. Sunday night, we're doing something a little different. This is West Coast Monster Trucks, and they're going to be doing two shows for us. Those tickets are $12 a piece, and the shows are at 4 and 7 p.m. And they're also going to have a ride vehicle, so people will be able to come in and take rides in a monster truck.
Very fun. Monster Trucks, is that a big draw every year?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And then the truck and tractor pull is going to be the first two nights, you say?
Yes.
Okay. And then so $10 on those first two nights, and then $12 for the third one. Is that an addition to the entry fee to get into the fair?
It is.
Okay. So how do people get tickets?
They can go to motherlodefair.org right now and click on the buy tickets button up at the top. Our adult price is a little bit discounted. It's $4 off the gate price if they buy it in advance. But you're able to buy everything online this year through eTix. They can download it right to their mobile device. They can print them at home if they want. We're trying to streamline the process and make it easier on the public.
And then for the carnival, is that going to be back, I assume, this year?
Oh, yes. Paul Maurer Shows is bringing all of his rides back in. We're excited. He's kept the prices the same for us for the wristbands. So that it's a nice help for the community.
So in a general sense, what types of rides and activities can people anticipate?
He's bringing back all of his spectaculars. He was able to bring a lot more for us last year, and he's committed to bringing the same thing that he had last year. So we'll have the kiddie carnival rides, but then we're going to have the rides for the teens and the young adults.
So should people get those tickets ahead of time too, or do they get those at the event?
They should buy those in advance. There's a little bit of a price break. If you're planning on coming all 4 days, you can buy in advance only what's called the Golden Ticket, which is a 4-day unlimited ride wristband.
Very good. And then, so tell me again, for the arena events, do those get purchased ahead of time or at the event?
They can be purchased ahead of time too. They are date, show, and time specific this year. Instead of just buying an arena event and deciding when you want to come, now you're going to have to pick that you want to come to the 4 p.m. Monster Truck Show.
So good to plan ahead and get everything lined up ahead of time.
Definitely.
Any like musical events or anything that people should take advantage of?
Oh, yes. We have a full lineup on our entertainment stage. And this year, our concert series is presented by 209 Multimedia. They're one of our new sponsors. Our headliners on Thursday night, we're having Buck Ford. Friday night, 60s Summer of Love tribute band. Saturday night is a ZZ Top tribute band, Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers. And then Sunday night, we're going to close out our fair with hometown favorite Jennifer Grant.
So all kinds of great entertainment lined up. What are some of the other things that you encourage people to take advantage of when they come to the fair this year?
Walk through the buildings. You know, go through the commercial exhibits in the Tribes of Tuolumne County building. Go through the Stills building. That's where all of our local talent is going to be exhibited. The first thing people are going to see when they walk in is going to be the tribal lawn that sits right in front of the tribal building and behind the administration building. And those are some pay-to-play attractions that are there. So we have a rock climbing wall, and we also have a Euro bungee that's coming in.
Cool. So rock climbing, so kids of all ages can take part in that?
Yep.
Very good. And then we're talking with Kim Hembold on this weekend's Motherlode Views, previewing the upcoming Motherlode Fair. Anything else that people should keep an eye out for this year?
Not really. You know, we've really tried to put everything out there and keep people informed. We're hitting everything on social media really hard and keeping our website up to date.
How about fair food? That'll be back this year, I take it? It's that time of year to indulge?
You have to have fair food if you're going to the fair.
Absolutely. And this could be a long line of options again this year?
We have so many food vendors coming in, we're struggling to find room to put them all.
That's a good sign.
It's really a good sign, and they're all approaching us. They all want to come. We have some new ones coming in this year. Barista Betty's will be there. Wing It on Wheels has chicken wings and chicken sandwiches. Island Snow has been there in the past, but they're actually coming back in this year. Philly Cheesesteaks from King's Concessions, and Munch a Bunch with hamburgers, cheeseburgers, and specialty fries. And Munch a Bunch has kind of a cool story. He used to come a long time ago when he was a kid with one of his relatives who had a food truck that came to Motherlode. So he was really excited to be able to come back now with his own food truck.
And then will there be vendors and nonprofits set up throughout the fairgrounds too?
There will be. Most of those will be either right outside the tribal building along the Sierra. Some are likely to be on the lawn there around the stage. But they're all going to be in the tribal building for the most part.
It's always fun, too, to drive by or go the first day when the fair gates first open, because you see the long line, you know, people who gather really to be the first ones to head on in there. It's kind of a feeling of pride to go early.
Yeah.
You know, do you see people year after year as kind of a family tradition coming back to the Motherlode Fair?
We do. We see them every year. They come through, and the fun thing is when you see the small kids come through and then later you see them coming in and maybe they've got a bunny or they've got a lamb, and you've seen them come through those barns before, and you know, maybe they've been in a stroller, but you recognize the parents. So it's a tradition.
Do you still like recognize different families or different people with awards each year?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. And not publicly announced yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, so we'll stay tuned for that. Does that usually come closer to fair time?
Yeah, our outstanding buyer will be announced at the livestock auction.
Okay, and how are preparations coming now as we sit and talk here in early June?
We are in full preparation mode. Our maintenance staff has been busy doing, you know, touch-up painting and cleaning up the grounds. We're actually doing some planting this week. The weather has been perfect for us to get out and work in our planter beds and get everything cleaned up. And most of the storm damage that we had has been cleaned up. We're ready.
You know, we always like to highlight the Motherlode Fair around this time of year leading up to the fair. You know, what's been taking place over the past year when it comes to the fairgrounds? Anything unique?
We have had a lot of interim events, and those rentals are really how we end up making most of our money for the year. We recently just hosted the Sonora A's, which is a Model A car club, and they were there for 3 days over Memorial Day weekend right before the Comic Con came in.
And you still receive state funding as well for the fairgrounds?
We do. We get about $45,000 a year in a state allocation.
And then the other money comes from events?
Yes, it comes from the revenue we generate off the fair, but it also comes from interim rentals like the Grand Council when the clampers come in and the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Posse with their Motherlode Roundup.
And then the campgrounds, are those year-round as well?
They are. We close them periodically when we have large events like the Grand Council. They take the entire grounds, but most of the time they are always open.
Are you encouraging new people to hold events at the fairgrounds as well?
We always want new people. We have 4 buildings that are available for rent. Our smallest one actually holds about 50 people. The prices are all available on our website. And I mean, our calendar is filling up fast right now.
And then if there's ever an emergency, it seems like the fairgrounds are a highly utilized spot as well.
We are actually designated as an evacuation center, but we have also been used by CAL FIRE as a base camp.
So various different community roles that the fairground plays. How about the fair board of directors? I see you've had some new faces join the board recently.
We did recently get 4 new directors appointed by the governor. So at this moment, I have a board of 7 members. We have 2 vacancies, and we're always looking for more people to apply through the governor's office. But the new directors are very excited. From the time they were appointed, they were wanting to know what can we do, where do we do anything. And they're stepping up. They're on grounds a lot. They really want to be involved in this fair, and they want to learn. And they want to make sure that the fair is there for years to come.
So you mentioned there's still 2 seats on the board. If somebody's interested, do they reach out to you, or do they go straight to the governor's office with things?
They can go to the governor's website, and there's I believe there's a link on there to apply in the appointments office.
We need to take one more break. We're talking about the upcoming Motherlode Fair, talking with the fair manager, Kim Hembold, on this weekend show. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Again, the fair is going to be coming up soon. It's June 29th through July 2nd at the Motherlode Fairgrounds. All kinds of carnival events, still exhibits, of course, the livestock auction, which is a huge draw, an important event for the local youth of the community. It takes a lot to put on this event every single year. In a programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to hear an update from the state capitol in Sacramento. We're going to be joined by Heath Flora. He's an assemblyman, a Republican, who represents part of the region, including Copperopolis and Oakdale. He's going to talk about some legislation that he is introducing this session and give his thoughts on how things are playing out at the state capitol so far this year. That's next week on Motherlode Views with Assemblyman Heath Flora. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Kim Hembold, who is the fair manager of the Motherload Fair. That event is coming up June 29th through July 2nd at the Motherload Fairgrounds, getting a preview of all the various different things that's going to be happening over that stretch of time, a popular community event here in Tuolumne County in the greater Motherload region. You know, Kim Hembold, one thing we haven't talked about is sponsors, and I imagine it takes a lot of sponsors to put this event on.
It does, and there's really no sponsor that's too small. I mean, we have sponsors that donate as little as $50 to help us with handbook coverage. Our presenting sponsor this year is Black Oak Casino Resort once again. The arena events are always sponsored by Chicken Ranch Casino, but this year the arena equipment is being provided by Nearich & Sons General Engineering. I mentioned the concert series is presented by 209 Multimedia. But then we have other sponsors like Conifer Communications and Ridgeline IT Services, Matheson Memorial Health Clinic, Kerr Roofing, Adventist Health, Leslie Heavy Hall, Oak Valley Community Bank, and American Ag Credit. And anytime we ask, you know, these are the sponsors that say, what can we do to help? What do you need? And it's a great way for them to get some free advertising. And we're always looking for new sponsors and new community partners.
Do you rely a lot on volunteers, too, to put this event on?
We do. We're always looking for volunteers. In fact, we're looking for volunteers now, so anybody interested can contact the fair office.
I imagine you have a pretty small staff at the fair.
We have a very small staff. We have three people that work in the office and then about six maintenance people out on the grounds.
Being the community the Motherload is, I'm sure a lot of people like to volunteer, but what are like the types of things that people would do if they volunteer with the fair or opportunities?
We need help in the exhibits buildings. We need to have building sitters. And basically all we're asking them to do is, you know, walk around, monitor what's going on in the buildings, make sure that all of the exhibits stay safe. If there's a spill in there, we contact maintenance, make sure things are getting cleaned up. But it's a great way, you know, come sit for a few hours and get a free fair ticket. You know, you get to stay in for the rest of the night.
You know, the fair is always a popular event just by driving by, especially during the evening hours. You see all the different people, and it can be a challenge to find a parking spot anywhere near the fairground. So what is kind of your advice for people when it comes to parking who are going to be coming out?
Don't try to park at the fairgrounds. We partner with Tuolumne County Transit, and they will be providing, once again, a free shuttle coming from the Junction Shopping Center. And their schedule is available on our website there. I'm not sure exactly where the extension is, but he did add some extra time to it, so it's going to be a little more convenient this year.
So Junction Shopping Center to the fairgrounds and back is where the shuttle runs?
Yes.
And then if there are early birds, will there be some parking available at the fairgrounds?
There's very limited parking, not really on grounds, but they can park in some of our ancillary lots around there. All of our parking is taken up by, you know, either the fair itself or our livestock exhibitors and our vendors.
Do you have like community partners that kind of step up, like the police department too, to help with different things around fair time?
They do. They help us with, you know, monitoring our crosswalk out front, making sure everybody is making it back across the street safely. And we always have CHP is one of our top partners. Being a state agency, we rely a lot on them. But they're going to make sure that our grounds stay safe.
And then tell us again, you know, a recap of the acts and entertainment that people can expect this year.
Our arena has three nights, Friday and Saturday night, L&L Productions Truck and Tractor Pulls. Sunday night is Monster Trucks at 4 and 7 p.m. And then our Sierra Stage, which is all free entertainment. Buck Ford on Thursday night, 60 Summer of Love Friday night. Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers Saturday night, and Jennifer Grant Sunday night.
And then tickets and ticket prices.
Tickets are available starting now, motherloadfair.org. Click that Buy Tickets link up at the top. But the pre-sale pricing will end June 28th. So until June 28th, adult pricing is $8 to get in the gate. A one-day carnival voucher for unlimited rides is $30, and a four-day is $75. And those are actually only available in advance if you want to do the four-day. Your gate prices are going to go up just a little bit this year. We had to make some changes because everybody who's coming to the fair, all of our attractions are charging us more money. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're still going to be there next year. Adults are going to pay $12. Seniors 62 and up, $10. Children ages 6 through 12, 7, and 5 and under are free. And then the arena has separate charge to get in. Saturday and Friday night are going to be $10. Sunday is $12. But the fair board actually decided they wanted to help everybody out a little bit. So Thursday, children 12 and under and senior citizens will be free. And that is compliments of MACT Health Board and Dodge Ridge Mountain Resort. They are our sponsors for our Thursday. And then Friday, as always, is Veterans Day. Veterans get in free with their ID on Friday.
Yeah, you mentioned it's important to support the county fairs. You want to be coming back next year and being able to pay all these different people and the inflation and everything going up. You know, what is kind of the state of county fairs right now? Is it a challenging time for fairs, or is it fairs moving along pretty well?
It's a challenging for almost all fairs because everybody's allocations have been cut. So when you don't have the income, and a lot of fairs have been utilized as evacuation centers, they've had a lot of flooding. And through the winter, fairgrounds themselves have sustained damage.
Yeah, how did the fairgrounds survive with the atmospheric rivers and all those things?
We had intermittent flooding, but our maintenance staff really stayed on top of everything. It wasn't quite as spectacular as what happened in 2019 when we had 2 feet of water rushing through the grounds. But when you sit at the convergence of two creeks and the creek runs through your grounds, you know, there's not much we can do really to stop it. We just keep all of our drains clean, keep the water moving as much as we can. And then we just had a livestock cleanup day last weekend, and they were able to clean up the remainder of the debris down there.
And you've only been fair manager, as mentioned, for less than a year now, but I know you've been involved with it. You know, have you had any observations just like fair attendance over the years? Has it kind of been going up? Has it been going down, kind of steady?
It fluctuates. I mean, we can go back and look at our historical data, and we can see times when we had 15,000 or 16,000 people come through the gates, and last year we were at 12,000. But for about the last 4 years, it has been going up.
And another plug for that livestock auction. If they missed it early on in the show, you know, what time and what can people expect?
Expect about 5 hours of really rapid fire bidding. Our auctioneers are great. We've got Travis Johnson and Chad Brantley that come out of Oakdale. They've really taken hold of the auction and made it their own. But that's going to kick off Saturday, July 1st at 4 p.m.
Well, again, that fair, the Motherlode Fair, is going to be coming up June 29th through July 2nd at the Motherlode Fairgrounds. We've been talking with Kim Hembold, who is the fair manager. Any final comments you'd like to make?
We want to see everybody come out and really enjoy the fair. We're trying to give this back to the community. We asked for our entertainers this year to apply. And then we went through and screened everybody and picked the ones that would fit in the schedule openings we had. So this is the community event. We want them to come out. We want them to enjoy it.
Well, it's going to be a busy few weeks ahead. We thank you and all the volunteers and your staff for putting this event on every single year here in the community.
It's our pleasure.
Again, we thank Kim Hembold. She has been joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She is the fair manager for the Motherlode Fair. June 29th through July 2nd is when the big fair is going to be this year. And if you tuned into this show a little bit late this weekend, or if you want to go back and listen again, a reminder that we have all of our Motherlode Views shows archived in the multimedia section of mymotherlode.com. Go to mymotherlode.com, click on media, and you can find the entire 30-minute show's Motherlode Views archived so you can listen at your convenience. And we'll see you back right here next week for Motherlode Views. We'll be talking with Assemblyman Heath Flora, who represents some of the Motherlode region and also parts of the Valley. He's going to talk about the current legislative session, get us up to speed about what's happening at the state capitol in Sacramento. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.